As many of you may or may not know, I've been blogging and building my network through platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter over the past 10 plus years. It has turned into a rewarding hobby as well as an opportunity for professional growth. I recently did a blog post that talked about how I wanted to take a deeper dive into my online presence. The time just felt right to do a social media health check. The question was, where does one go to get such a health check? Well, luckily enough, today on the podcast, I'm excited to have a nobody to many of you that I consider to be a huge somebody. She is an expert in influencer marketing and building out your online presence. My daughter, Katie White of Page 9 Co. fame. Katie recently put together and delivered a workshop to a group of 20-somethings that I thought would fit the bill. Even though this was more focused towards Instagram and a business-to-consumer world, we thought talking through the exercise would help us to share best practices across industries, segments, and worlds. The next question was, how to share this information with all of you? Well, in an act of bravery, or some might call stupidity, I asked Katie if she would be willing to take the conversation to a podcast format rather than my tried and true medium of blogging. She agreed, so here we are, and I hope you enjoy the conversation just as much as we did. Let's dive in. So, welcome, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm happy to have you doing this with me. So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what the purpose of the workshop was?
Yes. So, a little background on myself. I've been blogging and doing YouTube consistently for probably a little over a year, but I feel like I've been on and off doing it for my whole life. I put this workshop together when I kind of realized that a lot of people weren't really informed or understand, like, okay, I have, you know, an online presence, or I have this thing I like to do, whether it's blogging or YouTube or just interacting online, and kind of how to take it more seriously and how to take it to the next level. So the purpose of this workshop was just kind of like, I always say, like a hard look in the mirror for people.
And well, who was your audience when you first did it?
The first time, the reason I wrote it was to do it for, you know, small business, women-driven business owners, and then also just, I would say, wannabe influencers. So, you know, young, fashion, lifestyle kind of people.
So that's really great. Thanks for that background. So before we jump into the workshop, I wanted to get your perspective on something that I think is really the elephant in the room for this audience. They have fatigue hearing about updating their picture, their profile, and they're struggling to understand why they need to go through all this thought process. Everyone thinks they already have a network, people already know who they are and what they stand for. So growing up in a social media influencer world, what do you now see as the difference between your professional online presence in tools like LinkedIn or Twitter? Is it just like Facebook or Instagram? And do you think it can be a time sink, or what are your thoughts around its usefulness for folks in corporate America?
That is a very lengthy question, but I feel like it can definitely be summed up into the fact of just like, you have to care and understand why you're caring. So as if you would, you know, I had like a mentor in my life who his whole thing was sit someone down and buy him a drink. And that was the like mentality he had in, you know, how business was done. Where we really melded was when I kind of brought to the table like, okay, but this is how business is done now. This is how you're found. This is how you're understood. The first thing people do is look you up. Whether that's on LinkedIn, on Instagram, whether, you know, you're corporate America or you're like a dating app. Like, people are constantly trying to find who you are online. So I think it's really important for people to understand, like, social media is your billboard. That's your billboard. So instead of how people used to talk about you over drinks, social media is your own personal billboard. So just making sure that, you know, you're keeping up to date. It can feel very taxing because it feels like a chore, but once you take it as more like this is just how it is now, I think that people can really relate to it a little bit more because it just is.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, when we talk about the digital buying journey and people are really, to your point, making more choices, they're doing their research, right? Customers are doing their research online more than ever before they make a purchasing decision. So why wouldn't we think that that would apply to us as well? So, you know, who they do business with. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you read reviews on Amazon, you're contributing to this. So, you know, your LinkedIn is the Amazon reviews. You know, how many followers you have, how many, you know, people are looking at your content is your 5 stars. So, you know, if you have to, if it's overwhelming, think of it more like that. If you went on Amazon, there was no reviews, no stars, you know, to you, that's a red flag. So don't, having an online presence should prevent that red flag.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think also I consider like LinkedIn in particular your the biggest client relationship management tool because you can find out so much about folks online. So Katie, you and I had talked about the workshop. I heard about it. I thought it was really interesting. And the whole reason why we're here is now to have you walk me through the workshop and have me fill some stuff in because I'm struggling a bit to, you know, refine my online brand. And I think there's an opportunity for me to do the health check and to do better. So let's use me as a guinea pig. And why don't you walk me through the steps of the workshop and see how we do.
Great. So the first thing that we want to tackle is who do you follow and why do you like them? So I think this is an important question. Again, like I said earlier, like a hard look in the mirror is you follow people for a reason and, you know, you hit that follow button or that like button or whatever at some point for some reason. So, you know, if at that point you want to figure out why am I following these people? Because why would someone follow me? So that's the first step. So who do you follow and why?
So mainly I focus things in on work, right? So I'm mainly on LinkedIn and on Twitter, probably less on Twitter, more so than LinkedIn. So who I follow typically has to do with work. So Hewlett Packard Enterprise, HP execs and colleagues, because that's probably who I'm closest with. I also follow some influencers that I like Bill Gates, Arianna Huffington, Adam Grant, Richard Branson, Brené Brown. And lately, I've even gotten some diversification in here because I think that's important. Rebecca Minkoff is somebody and Bobby Brown, both of who are kind of outside the box choices for me, but doing a lot of really good blogging lately. I follow tech companies, obviously, like Intel and Google and things like that just to see keep up. As well as certain publications like Forbes magazine, Harvard Business Review, Wall Street Journal, stuff like that. And then lastly, I try and round it out with some personal stuff. So I follow some Make-A-Wish is a charity that's really important to me. I follow the Diamondbacks baseball team because I'm a big baseball fan. TED Talk, and I actually got to do a podcast with Fairy Godboss a few years ago, so I'm following them as well. So that's I try to round it out, I guess, to sum it up between some stuff that's personal to mm-hmm. me, some stuff that's professional to me, groups and individuals.
Great. So at that point, because you follow these people, why do you think someone would follow you? What traits can you pull out of those
right.
that you like that you feel you can mimic, I guess?
Yeah.
Because you're not Bill Gates.
That is for darn sure. You're yeah, no, I'm definitely Gates. A nobody and trying to be mm-hmm. a somebody. So I think they have a lot of great content and perspective and ideas that I take away from each mm-hmm. of those groups. And I try and put my own sort of interpretation or perspective on it. And I'd like to I share things and I follow people because I think what I find interesting in terms of their leadership or their content or their capabilities might be interesting to my audience. It gives me insight, too, in what's happening with those people. So it helps me with people that I admire and that I'm hoping that I can impress, that I can learn from how they're influencing others. And lastly, like if I find the content or the article mm-hmm. meaningful, I know there are people usually in my audience or my followers that share that common goal or share that common information. Mm-hmm. So I just try and make sure that I can make it visible or boost it to them as well.
Yeah. So I guess that's the whole point of that question is just so you can realize that, okay, I follow, like for me, I follow, you know, kind of different is that I follow JC Marie Smith on Instagram because I like her style, I like the message, and I like learning more about her life. And so in my content, I try to mimic things that I would want to see on my own page. I think that's important to realize who you're following and why and how that mirrors into what you're posting.
And do you also think, too, that by certain people, by helping to boost them, it actually gives you, you're helping people that you admire to understand that their content is important to you, too. So, like, when I think about that in terms of business, I think if there's a company that I'm trying to influence or work more with, the more I show an interest in their content or boost it, what's important to them should be important to me as well.
Sure.
Great. So then the next question is, I think in the workshop, is how many people are you following?
Yeah, and I definitely think this relates a little bit more to, you know, an influencer or a individual versus, you know, someone in the corporate world, because it's not... The reason we ask ourselves this question in this workshop is because if you're looking to work with a brand and they see you're following 600 people and 600 people are following you, the chances are they're following you because you followed them and vice versa. So I guess the question here is, are you mindful, and does it matter to you if you are following more people than are following you? Because I think that a lot of the times, you know, engagement and follower count relate to influence and importance. So I guess that question's a little more loaded on the influencer side, but I think still something good to be aware of your influence versus who's influencing you.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think as I talk to people about the number of followers they have or the number of people they're following, my bias is in corporate America. Quality is more important than quantity. So it's good to keep adding people to your network and to be mindful when you meet somebody or somebody, a company or a group has interesting content or information to add it in. But I agree with you. In the corporate world, I think it needs to be quality, not just quantity, so that you can leverage your network to help others or to help you identify other people that you want to influence or contact. It's not the same as in the consumer world where you want to make it up of an audience that you don't really know.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, and I heard this at Adobe Max a few years ago, and I can't remember who was speaking, and I feel bad because every time I bring this up, I want to remember who it was. But he was saying that there was like a study done, and you can really only keep up with like 117 people. So the people that you follow, you need to realize, like, if you're following someone and not engaging, not interacting, not reading, not understanding the content they're posting, then you are then a useless follower to them. So I think it's important to also, you know, if you follow 500 people, but you never comment or engage with any of their content, you're a ghost to them. So it's just as important for you to pare down your followers as it is for the people you're following. So I think in that respect, just like really, like, again, hard look in the mirror is like why you're following them, why you are or aren't engaging with them, and when was the last time you did. I think on Instagram there's a great feature where you can look and see there's like a list of least engaged of who you've seen the least. So I don't know if there's something similar for LinkedIn, but just understanding, you know, you're better as an engaged follower.
Yeah, I agree. And just sort of a final comment on that, like, I think on Twitter I have I'm following 343 people and I have 372 followers. So I've really not got a broad base there. And I compare that to LinkedIn, where I have about 2,500 people that I'm following, right? So are in my network. And then I have about 3,200 people that are following me. And the reason why I have more people following me on LinkedIn than I'm connected with is because I've been blogging over the years and people are following because they want to catch up when I post a blog post. So, but I think the broad network on LinkedIn gives me the ability to connect in a broad way that helps get my message and the company's message out.
The next question in the workshop is, does your bio represent your content? And in the sense of when the workshop was put together, the idea here was your bio should directly correlate with what you're posting. So the example I always give is if you went into Barnes & Noble or a bookstore and you read the back of a book and it said it was a comedy, lighthearted, you know, romance, and you're like, yeah, I want to read that, and then you got home and sat down and it was a horror book, you'd be kind of upset. You'd be like, this isn't what I signed up for. So in the Instagram world and the influencer world, it's really important that you're transparent up front of what people are going to get from you. So for me, you know, I always say to people, have your top three. So in the fashion influencer world, it's going to be I post about my dog, my lifestyle, and my fashion all from the comfort of my own home or something like that. And that way you can rotate through those three content pieces. And that makes content production easier, but then also is transparent with your audience. So I think it applies a little bit differently to those in corporate America.
Yeah, and I would say, actually, I think it does have a relevance in a similar way. And I think one of the things that you say all the time, which I repeat to others shamelessly, is live your bio. So I think in the corporate world, what's most important is understanding the three to five things, to your point, that people are going to get when they look at your profile. And I think there's two things to consider. One is, say, in LinkedIn's world, LinkedIn can also be used as a way to for recruiters to find you and for you to find a job. So if you're in the job market and you're looking for a job, your bio or the two to three things at the top need to represent who you are to a recruiter and somebody who'd be hiring you. Adjacent to that, or indifferent to that, right? If you are somebody who's working for a company and you want people to buy from you or interact with you, you want to say the two or three things about yourself, to your point, that matches your book to cover analogy. And I think that's really important. And what I also think it does is focus people on the types of things you're going to post, right? Mm-hmm. Which is also what brings us here today, is to think about if you are a nobody and you're viewed as a somebody, some people, if your content's all over the place and you're not taking into account who you're trying to influence mm-hmm. with your messages, and your messages don't match what your bio says, I think you could confuse your audience. So I think I'm actually feeling that I want more and more to tighten up on that. So if I was to meet somebody on the street and they were to say, hey, when you post, I feel that you stand for these three things. It's not that I can't stand for other things, but at least my brand is associated, I'm influencing in a way that's more targeted and focused than just a splattering all over the place.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a condensed elevator pitch.
Yeah,
it's your great elevator pitch.
That's a great way of saying it. Yeah, exactly.
So the next thing in the workshop that we talk about is, in our world, is if Instagram disappeared tomorrow, would your followers still be able to reach you? And I think the reason and the thought process behind looking at into this is, you know, you want your followers to be able to find you. If your brand, you know, if Instagram went down tomorrow, hopefully you would have a blog or an email list, or you'd be on Twitter, because the truth is, like, all of these technologies are free to us. We have no buy-in on any of them. So, you know, if Mark Zuckerberg was like, buy Instagram and buy Facebook, a lot of people would be out of the job, or their main source of marketing would be gone. So I think this one's a little less relevant in the corporate world, but I think it's still important to have a presence online where if someone Googled you or looked you up, something would come up. You know, if you only have one page and it's privated, that's not going to be as useful to you if someone, you know, met you and tried to look you up.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, again, in all the discussions I've had, LinkedIn is mainly is the main point where we would say that you would influence from a corporate perspective. And I think there isn't really another application out there that has the same reach or functionality. But in a corporate way, I agree with you. Yeah.
Great. So the next one we usually go through is the content you're creating made for the correct platform? And the reason we talk through this is because, you know, every platform, and maybe this isn't as relevant, but every platform that you're posting on has a different purpose. So you're not going to post. I always bring up, there was a gal that I used to manage, and she had amazing content, and she came to visit us in Scottsdale, but she wrote this long Instagram caption of all of her favorite places to eat, where to stay, all these great things. But the truth of the matter is there's no way to search through Instagram. So you are never able to find that post again. So when I go to Scottsdale and, you know, a year from now, I might not remember that she made that post and I might not know how to find it. So the important thing is, you know, if you feel that you have, I guess in the corporate world, if you have a message that you really want to be able to be shared broadly that you think is important to you, it's, you know, authentic, and you want to be shared broadly, if you post it on your private Facebook page, no one else can share that. So if, you know, in your case, you have a blog and LinkedIn, so it's easier for people to more broadly share the link to your blog than it is for people to share a LinkedIn post. So I think just, you know, if you're posting something that you want to be picked up or, like, understood from a broader audience, not just your followers, then it is, you know, important to kind of just understand that and what the content you're posting is.
Yeah, and the only thing I would say on this one is that I think it's important to a couple things. One is to make sure that people get to know you. So be comfortable with sharing some personal information. So, for example, like we talked about earlier, like if certain charities or certain things are meaningful to you, it's okay to share some of that so people can get to know you. But it's a balance, because on LinkedIn, I wouldn't share a whole lot of personal, but I'd share personal if it was related to a work story or furthered your work relationships. I also think that you have to be very, very careful when you're posting on platforms that you're not too centric around the company that you're working with. So in other words, you may be working for HP or HPE, and if everything that you're posting is around that company and doesn't give a broader industry perspective, I think people think that you're just kowtowing to the company you're with and it doesn't really feel authentic. Whereas if you're sharing some greater industry information, it feels more authentic. And then if you were to leave HP and go to a competitor, and then all of a sudden you started posting their content, again, I don't know that people feel you were all that authentic about the content you were producing. So I just think it's important to be very aligned with what you're doing and give a broader perspective in that content. So we covered a lot of ground in a short period of time, and you gave me a lot to think about. One of my observations from this exercise, Katie, was that I didn't realize coming into it is even though there are a lot of differences between being an influencer on a platform like Instagram, there are a lot more similarities than we realize. So overall, what were your observations, Katie, and thoughts from our conversation?
Yeah, I think it gave me a lot of perspective of how this workshop can both be tailored to influencers and then also people just looking to figure out what to do with their influence. I think that it's definitely different than how I've presented it in the past. I am not someone who actively uses LinkedIn as much as I probably should, just because a lot of my career path and businesses that I would look for are on Instagram, and I don't think that's something that will change. But I think it is an interesting perspective. I think there are three things that I just want to highlight and make sure that we can get across to everyone listening to this, which is this is how business is done now. So like I kind of mentioned about my mentor, like used to sit down, buy him a drink, get business done. But now you go through applications like Twitter and LinkedIn, and that's how people are found. And they'll go to understand you and where you stand on those platforms. The second thing I want to make sure we hit home is that social media is your billboard. So when people look you up, that's going to be the first thing they see. Just as if they look up a product or, you know, other companies and that they're looking for. So make sure you're keeping your billboard up to date. Make sure it's an accurate representation of who you are and what you stand for. The third thing is that LinkedIn is your 5-star Amazon review. So what people comment, their recommendations, how they interact with you and your content gives more confidence to work with you and kind of makes people more aware of who you are and what you stand for. So just make sure that you're keeping your 5 stars up to date.
That's great. No, those are three takeaways I had too. And I think it's just really important for people to understand. So how about, as we wrap this up, key advice or reminders for anyone in corporate America who are looking to answer the workshop questions themselves? Like you and I worked through it, but what if other people were going to do this? What would be some things that you would point out to them as they take a look in the mirror?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing just to remember with this workshop is that it is a hard look in the mirror. So I think some things to focus on, there's definitely things to focus on in this workshop and things that you probably shouldn't harp on too much. I think just making sure you're aware of your followers and connections. So who are you following and connected to, and why do you have them in your network, or why are they a part of your base?
Right.
And then also identify any gaps. So any groups or companies or hashtags or publications that maybe you're not using or you're not following or not identifying with. I realized on LinkedIn I wasn't following the company that I would one day like love to work for. So just making sure you're keeping that all up to date. Another thing is, how many people are you following? I think this one just really applies in the making sure that you're an engaged follower as well. So quality over quantity. Make sure you're participating so that you aren't a ghost follower. If you're following 1,000 people and you never engage, comment, or like anything, then you're pretty much useless as a follower.
Yeah, and I think in the LinkedIn world, right, there's two ways of looking at things. You can have someone as a connection, or you can have, or you can follow somebody, right? And the difference for me, just because I think about it a lot, is if I'm following somebody, I'm consuming their content, right? Or I have an ability to see what they're posting or what they're interested in. If we're a connection, I have access to your network, right? So we have access to share common contacts and things like that. So, you know, if there may be certain companies or groups or even individuals, where following them may be a better choice, where you, or as an entryway to understand them before maybe you can get a warm introduction and make them a connection. So that's just something to think about in terms of how you're connecting in terms of followers or connections in the LinkedIn world.
Yeah, and I think it's also really important just on that piece to make sure that, you know, you're aware that you're engaging. I think a lot of us are really good at mindlessly scrolling and reading, right, and not taking the moment to like or to comment. So just imagining like you would want someone to do that for you. The next thing that you should focus on is to revere your bio. Just make sure that you clarify your purpose on the platform. If you're in the job market, let people know. Give yourself a headline that means something to someone. Like I said earlier on, like, does the summary on the back of the book match the inside? So make sure that, you know, if you're saying I'm a space engineer and really you're in marketing, that's right, probably not right. So right, just make sure, you know, you want to be quirky, but still be transparent. Another thing, the way to think about it is think about it as your condensed elevator pitch, or just your current elevator pitch in our current climate where a lot of people are looking at your LinkedIn. And just making sure that it's all up to date. And if you need help with it, make sure you're looking at other people's bios to get ideas, you know, people in similar areas to you, so that you can see how the voice is in a lot of them. Finally, just be thoughtful and purposeful with the content you're sharing. Make a plan on the frequency and type of content, and make sure that your messages and brand come across and come through. But you can also think of it not so robotically, and think of like if there's ways to mix it up and show your personality or industry expertise as well as company content. I think that's really important too, is making sure that, I always say this, is that people come for the content and stay for the personality. You know, people are reposting things every day, all day. So what comment do you have on that specific piece that makes it different? So it's your voice that's going to keep people interested. So
that's fantastic, Kay. I think that's great advice for people who are going to look at the workshop, and gives them a little extra things to think about as they're going through it. So again, like, thank you for being my guest. You gave us a lot of good content and material and structure. And I hope everybody enjoyed listening to this as much as we enjoyed making it. So
follow me on Instagram at Page9Co, PageNineCo.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you can be a somebody too.